dead Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Doney's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Doney Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Doney.
All right. How's everybody doing this weekend? November 19th, 2022. We are, what, less than 8 hours, about 9 hours away right now before the AEW Full Gear pay-per-view. Loaded show. We did predictions a few days ago. If you haven't checked it out, you could go access them over here. I will let everybody know right off the bat that one match has been taken off of Full Gear. And instead, we are getting a pre-show match and a finale next week. Originally, Ethan Page was supposed to take on the winner of Brian Cage versus either Lance Archer or Ricky Starks. And as we talked about when we did the predictions Wednesday night, you know, that was just a mess. And it was like three different scenarios that we were looking at. It just seemed a little bit far-fetched to have it, you know, be completed smoothly. I think their biggest mistake is completing one side of the bracket so soon. But Tony Khan claims that Ricky Starks legitimately was not cleared to compete last week. So I think, you know, as much as you want to give a match to Ethan Page on pay-per-view, hey, shit happens sometimes. So as a result, Ricky Starks, who defeated Lance Archer yesterday, which was one of our predictions, he is going to take on Brian Cage in a pre-show tonight before Full Gear. The winner of that match, who we believe will be Ricky Starks, will then face Ethan Page next week, I believe, and that'll determine who wins the tournament and gets a future title shot. So we'll see what happens. Now, if you check out the show synopsis, a couple of little tweaks that I did, let me know if that makes things a little bit more organized as far as, you know, display. Also, if you look at the preview, a couple of programming notes I want to let everybody know, and then we'll get right into everything. First off, don't forget, my recap of AEW Full Gear will be tomorrow, Sunday night, November 20th, 2022 at 8.05 p.m. It'll be a combination of Full Gear recap, and we'll do a little sit-down episode. So basically, we just socialize and we do some interactive Q&A, live chat, super chat. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. Now, also, remember, I'm going on vacation Wednesday. So what I am going to do is on Tuesday, I am going to record the predictions for Survivor Series. And yes, if you look at that a little closely, yeah, there were two names added to Survivor Series yesterday, the two names that we expected to be added. Like I said all along, it was always supposed to be 5-on-5, but we're going to do predictions. I'm going to record it Tuesday. It's not going to be live online, but that will drop for everybody Wednesday during the day. I would say probably Wednesday around 12 noon. I'm also recording another video Tuesday. And that is going to be sort of the state of the channel. It's something that I have not done on this channel yet. And this channel has been a little over 2 years in effect. A couple of changes are coming. The big one that I know some of you already are aware about and some of you are talking about it already is I am no longer on Pro Wrestling TV. It was 100% my decision. There are a few reasons involved, some that I will not make public, but on Tuesday I will explain why I left the network, and I believe I am not alone in the exit. It's not a knock on the network. Still support them. I will support them. I will still watch. But, you know, when you hear what I have to say on Tuesday, it's a plus. It's a win-win. Because, you know, I want to focus all our videos in one home. And my video home is here. And, you know, we'll talk about it on Tuesday. Also, there's going to be some additional things coming to the channel. Looks like wrestling clips are finally going to start happening. You know, I know people have been telling me for 2 years, look at what Cornette does. Look at what this one does. Look at what that one does. You know, people don't want to scroll through 90 minutes of content to get to the topic. You don't do timestamps. So it's either I do timestamps or I do individual clips. After I come back from vacation, we'll start doing clips. There's a couple other things going down as well. We also got to talk about the future of the watch parties, where that is going, and podcast Forbidden Door, number 4. We got to talk about that. So Tuesday, we have some things to check out. All right. So today, we got some WWE discussion, AEW discussion. Sasha Banks filing some non-WWE trademarks. And I got to tell you, it is kind of funny. You look back at when those trademarks were made, and people don't put two and two together and try to understand. You know, timing is everything. You know, and I think that's something that people seem to ignore. And trying to make this into this major controversy, I will tell you right off the bat, I do not believe it's a major controversy with Sasha Banks trademarking these names. Oh, that means she's not coming back to WWE. I guess we could just talk about it right now. Let's just get into it right now. One aspect about the trademarks that nobody is telling you is that these were filed in August. These were filed in August. Now, the funny thing about it is, if you do a Google search and you go back to August 2022 and do just from August 1st to August 31st, I'm almost tempted to do it right now for all of you. In fact, you know what? I think I will. Let's see. I'm going to share my screen with everyone. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go on Google, and I am going to type in the time frame of August 1st to August 31st. All right? And I'm going to share my screen. Just give me 1 second. Okay. I could share my screen. Let's see how this looks. All right. Oh. You know what? You know, let me share another screen. Let's share another screen. I want to show you what this looks like. All right. Yes, this is much better. Much better. All right. So I'm going to show you the screen right now. This is Sasha Banks. These are searches from August 1st to August 31st. And, you know, if you have audio only, you don't have to worry about, you know, seeing this. But if you look at what was being said in August for Sasha Banks, look at these articles. Now, keep in mind, August is almost 4 months ago. Sasha Banks and Naomi set for WWE return. Another possible sign that Sasha Banks is headed back to WWE. Major update on Sasha Banks and Naomi's status. WWE drops Sasha Banks tease on social media. What's that all about? Let's see what that is. It's probably nothing. It's probably nothing. Resting boss face. Oh, get the fuck out of here. It's a picture of Mandy Rose. Report, Sasha Banks and Naomi reach a deal to return to WWE. But look at the next page. This has more to do with business. Look, there you go. C2E2, or as I called it, C6E6, because she was 6 feet apart from a lot of people. She did C2E2. She did a lot of appearances with Naomi outside of wrestling. Look, all this, Sasha Banks and Naomi reportedly patched things up with WWE. Guys, at the same time this was going down, she filed a bunch of trademarks. Now, she owns a company called Solnado Incorporated, S-O-U-L, and Nado is, I guess, Vernado, Solnado Incorporated. You know, people think that she's got, like, all these employees working for her. Boss, we filed a trademark. Boss, she's doing this herself, and obviously through lawyers and accountants. You know, anyone out there that starts a business, you know, to do, you know, outside work, outside projects, you know, you come up with some ideas. How do I make money? How do I trademark my shit? So Sasha Banks, in August she did this. She didn't do it in November. She didn't do it in October, September, or July. She did it in August. At the same time is when she started showing up everywhere. So the trademarks she filed, it's on the screen, Mercedes Moné, and it's spelled M-O-N-E with a little apostrophe, Mercedes Moné. Moné Talks. Was she going to do a podcast? Possibly. Bank Moné. I don't know what that's about. And the Statement Maker. Guys, there's no controversy here. She filed this in August because in August she started doing all these outside projects, trying to make money. Obviously, you know, at that time, her return was not etched in stone. It's still not etched in stone. I mean, for all, you know, points, you know, it is pointing to a WWE return. But you look in August. I mean, you know what's happened in August in the wrestling news world? They were all racing to try to be first. So they could go back and do a date search and say, you see everybody? I told you they were returning. Guys, gals, breaking news. Superstar Billy Graham is going to die. I hate this. I'm sorry for sounding so morbid. He's going to die. He may not die for 20 years. He's going to die. Breaking news. John Cena ultimately will retire from in-ring competition. Yeah. You know, I mean, you could write it. You got no sources. You got no connections. It's just guessing. And now we're 4 months later in the same position. Sasha Banks set up a corporation so she can merchandise, so she could sell herself. And I don't mean that in any sexual way. That's business. That's what business people do. So do not think that these trademarks mean she ain't coming back to WWE. If WWE allows her a little more freedom, like they do with Pat McAfee or some others, yes, I know he's not a full-time wrestler, but if they allow Sasha Banks to do a little bit on the outside, you know, maybe a little social media stuff here and there, well, she probably wants to market her name. She's not going to be in WWE forever. Hell, who knows? Maybe a year from now, Sasha Banks is not happy again and wants to leave again. You know, I mean, you never know what the future will hold. You know, you can't, listen, at some point, we all got to agree that Sasha Banks, as talented as she is, as beautiful as she is, and as much as we like her in the world of pro wrestling, you know, you can't stick a pacifier in her mouth every time something doesn't go her way. You know, promises are made. Sometimes promises have to be broken. It's not nefarious. So do not read much into this. Ray says she's going to be in Fast and the Furious 20. Yeah, this is all about her creating a brand. Nothing more, nothing less. I know this is not the controversial clickbait, you know, that most people out there will try to sell you. But these were trademarks that she had done back in August. And this is for, look, you trademark it, you pay for it, it gets approved, it's yours. She could use them 5 years from now. She could use them 10 years from now. There's no reason why she has to, there's no expiration, but you must, trademarks must be used, you know, best buy date. She could use it whenever she wants. Very, very smart on her part. So, all right, so we got the Sasha Banks stuff out of the way. All right, next, let's talk about last night's SmackDown. I don't know if we should talk about Bray Wyatt tries to make amends with LA Knight. I don't know if we should talk about Xavier Woods shaving the beard. You know, cute little mustache, I might add, but yeah, he shaved the beard. What about, and yeah, thank you very much. I saw that this came in right before we went live. Who sent this? Shout out to, drum roll please, Ronnie C. DT, you were right. Shayna got distracted and fruit rolled by Shotzi. Awful. And you said that they would turn Braun's flippy tweet into a storyline. Who wins next week between Braun Strowman and Ricochet? Well, I know we're going one step ahead, but last week when we were talking about a few things, I said that, you know, a little sausage that WWE is going to turn Braun Strowman's social media tweet, even though he deleted it, he's going to turn it into the Flippy Flipper. You know, he's going to face a Flippy Flipper in this tournament. Unfortunately, it was not the one that I wanted to see. Yesterday's SmackDown was might be my top five favorite SmackDowns of 2022. LA Knight standing up to the devil was fucking epic. I had to write it in a synopsis. LA Knight bitch slapped Bray Wyatt yesterday, and everything about it was beautiful. And we'll get into that. We'll dive into that a little bit. But what about Ricochet and Mustafa Ali? These guys tore it up yesterday. And I'm sure I have seen it before. And, you know, I probably just wasn't impressed by it. I was impressed by it yesterday. Have you any of you ever seen someone do a shooting star press on their opponent while their opponent is standing up? I can't remember. I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure I've seen it. I can't remember the last time I've seen that, though. There's no one that comes to mind. And that actually happened yesterday. Now, I'm going to show you the clip. But the story of the match was that Mustafa Ali is selling the ribs, the injury from Bobby Lashley. Trainer tells him that he's medically cleared, but doesn't advise wrestling tonight. Ricochet shows up. You know, you sure you want to do this? We don't have to do this. And Ricochet, he's trying to convince Ali to change his mind. Ali is like, hey, you know, I can breathe. I'm good to go. You know, I can move. I can breathe. I'm good to go. So the match is on. And the match, pretty much everything was selling the injury. Ricochet showing a little bit of sympathy, and that pissed off Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali getting a little aggressive at times during this match, a little cheap shots behind the head. But in the end, it was Ricochet getting the win. Mustafa Ali missed the 450 splash. And then again, like I said, I never seen this before. You just watch him climbing the top rope. All right, you see him climbing the top rope, and then just watch him dive off. Look, All right, hang on a second. Okay, watch him climb the top rope. Watch this. You got to give Ali the credit for, you know, falling at the same time, but man, that was beautiful to look at. Everything about the match was great. And I thought it was very, very cool afterwards, you know, giving a little bit of fist pumps. You know, the story is to show that Ali is tough as shoe leather. But is this going to keep going? You know, look at Madcap Moss. Madcap Moss, tough son of a bitch, wants a little revenge on Cross. Emma, kind of a little love interest with Moss. But Moss, although tough, wants to get revenge on Cross, he loses as well. So, you know, where does this go a couple of weeks from now? Where does this go 2 months from now? You know, so that's where I want to see where this goes with Ali. If they're going to do this thing where Ali is injured and he keeps fighting and fighting and fighting and he loses, you know, fans will get a little bit of respect and sympathy towards Ali, suspension of disbelief. But if it doesn't start interpreting into wins and wins against people, you know who Mustafa Ali could get a win over that you know is not going to happen, but you know who he could get a win over right now that actually could maybe give him a little bit of a springboard? Baron Corbin. But they're not going to do that anytime soon, you know. And I don't want to see a fruit roll-up either. You know, fruit roll-ups are cheap. You know, how many times you see that on TV? It's a little ridiculous at this point. So, after the match is over, Braun Strowman is in the back with Ricochet, and Ricochet actually brings up the Flippy Flippers. Next week, Braun Strowman takes on a Flippy Flipper. Now, Ronnie with the $10 Super Chat asks, who do I think is going to win? It's got to be Braun Strowman. People thought Braun Strowman was going to be punished because of his tweet. Yeah, he got punished. He got embarrassed by the wrestling community, people in the business. Braun Strowman, I don't know if he learned his lesson, but I think he realized, look, I cried when I made my return to WWE. I'm talking as if I'm Braun Strowman. I cried. I'm working with my lady. I'm getting good money. I'm getting a push. I don't need to giggle on Twitter, you know, and fuck that up. So I think, you know, Triple H had a conversation with him. My man, don't do that. Don't do that. We got big plans. We got good things coming. Don't do that. And you know what? Props to Braun Strowman for not even retaliating to what Jeff Jarrett said and other people said. But it is interesting. Mustafa Ali came right out there and made that tweet, you know, teach me how to get fired. And he's got two losses as a result. So, yeah, Sean, you know, what Moss and Emma do in their personal life, real life, you know, is none of my business. But, you know, I guess, you know, if they're going to turn it into a storyline on camera, you know, it's fine. I mean, we've always had relationships on camera. As long as it's not like 24/7 stuff with Tamina and all that garbage with Tozawa and Dana Brooke. I'm having coffee, by the way. I am exhausted. Oh, you know, I have to tell you all something. You know, no sympathies, you know, needed or anything, but I have told growing up Don Tony stories over the years, and I always talked about my middle name being Santino. My middle name was Santino. You know, I had that name before Santino, blah, 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 blah. But I told the story on the show a few times over the years that my uncle Santo was, you know, represented me for my confirmation. I was very, very close with my uncle Santo. So as a result, I took Santino as my middle name. And from my teenage years into my early 20s, my name was, well, if you really wanted to go greaseball territory, my name was Antonio Santino de Blasi. That's the full-blown, if I go to Italy and I'm walking around, Antonio Santino de Blasi. That's my name. Until I got something from the IRS in my early 20s. Your name doesn't match our records. Because Santino was never my middle name. Once he represented me for my confirmation, I kept it. And I used it. And I didn't realize you apply for credit cards, I put Santino as my middle name. To this day, and if you think I'm lying, do an IntelliSearch under my name and you'll see it. I'm allowing you to do that. I still get mail that says Anthony S. de Blasi. Well, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because my uncle died 2 days ago. 78 years old, stage 4 cancer. You heard me talk about him over the last couple of months. That's me and him about 10 years ago. My Uncle Santo, one of the nicest, most genuine good people that ever walked this earth. And I'm going to his funeral this afternoon. So, Santo, rest in peace. Rest in peace. So, good guy, man. Good guy. All right. Let's get back to SmackDown. So, I guess we could backtrack to the beginning of SmackDown. Sheamus opens up the show with the Brawling Brutes. He asks Drew McIntyre to be an honorary brute. You know, the bloodline is getting a little oozy. They want Drew to get a little brute-y. Oozy and brute-y. That's the words they're using. Sami Zayn comes out, guarantees a victory for the bloodline at Survivor Series. Ooh, big mistake. Not really, but, you know, kind of seed planted. Sheamus doesn't reveal who the fifth member is for their team. But he believes that Sami Zayn is going to crap his pants when he finds out who it is. So that to be continued for later on in the night. So after the Ali Ricochet match, we see a backstage segment with Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, Solo Sikoa, and Sami Zayn. And I'm not going to lie, I thought this was a stupid segment. Jey Uso was corpsing again. If you look closely, when Sami Zayn was like, yo, my dog, yeah, and he's like trying to like, chill. You look at, he went like, and the camera actually pulled away from Jay so he could laugh a little bit. Go back and watch the clip. You'll see what I'm talking about. But Jimmy is mad at Sammy for guaranteeing a win at Survivor Series. What's wrong with that? And even to play into the storyline, Sami Zayn is like, yo, what's wrong with that? You know, wait, we're not supposed to win? So, you know, then Jay gets up and he gets, you know, gets his bearings. He tells Sammy, take a chill pill because Roman is on his way to the building. So we're getting Roman Reigns tonight. We get the quick graphic. Bray Wyatt makes amends. I love this. I still don't know if it's leading to a match, though. Yeah, I still don't know if it's leading to a match. All right, Bray Wyatt are going to make amends. So, you know, let's talk about that segment now, and then we'll wrap up SmackDown, just get into the other results, and we'll get into some other things. Bray Wyatt comes out. Full-blown entrance, you know, 5 minutes intro. And I'm not going to lie to you, I don't want anybody to get mad when I say this. When he first started talking, if you put side by side what he said in the back to LA Knight last week and what he started saying in the ring last night, it was Groundhog Day. It was the same fucking thing. He comes out and he says, when I was younger, I was conditioned to be a certain way. I look at the path behind me and I questioned, why do I do the things that I do? It was the same thing as last week. So now I'm like, yo, man, this is starting to become an issue. But LA Knight comes out, totally changes the whole vibe, the aura of what's going on. Basically, Bray Wyatt wants to, you know, make amends with LA Knight. Not necessarily apologize. LA Knight wants an apology, but Bray Wyatt wants to make amends. You know, that doesn't sound as wimpy. You know, apologize. You know, for some people, that's wimpy. I'm so. It's almost like the Fonz. I'm so. So LA Knight comes out, and LA Knight is talking a little game, George Jack and Bray Wyatt a little bit, talking about an apology. And while LA Knight is in the ring with Bray Wyatt extends his hand. All right? We'll be good. Just shake my hand. So what does LA Knight do? Well, LA Knight does this. Slap! Right in the face. And he leaves the ring. I fucking loved it. You know, just that's like Vince McMahon wrestling. Like, you slap the person in the face, and then you stand there, and you're like, what are you going to do about it? And then Bray Wyatt would probably grab him, Sister Abigail, knock him out. We go to another segment. Am I wrong? L.A. Knight, pussy, chicken shit. Slaps him, leaves the ring. L.A. Knight gets on the microphone. Yo, we're even now. We're even. Yep, we're even. So he backs off. Bray Wyatt gets on the microphone. Now he's starting to snap. Remember the whole storyline. Everything you see is Bray battling his inner demons. You know, ain't no Wyatt Six. Ain't no this. You, as the weeks go by, you're realizing everything that we said from day one has been 1,000% true. So Bray Wyatt's starting to snap. And Bray gets on the mic for him. He says, we're even. Bray starts getting pissed off. And he wants to do things to LA Knight that he doesn't want to do. And he says to LA Knight, the next decision you make will change your life forever. So now it comes across, okay, look, you know, LA Knight, little bitch slap. All right, we're even. Now you settle things. You know, shake, make amends. Okay, you got me. I got you last week. We're even. Watch the screen. I'll describe it for anybody on audio only. But as he's in the ring, Bray Wyatt walks to the edge of the ropes. LA Knight, who, remember, he chicken shitted his way outside the ring. He's standing on the apron, and he's not entering that ring again. But Bray Wyatt stands by the ropes, extends his hand. And L.A. Knight is looking at him like, you serious? You know, like, you want to shake, you know, like, and Bray Wyatt, you can see, is getting very impatient. So Bray Wyatt had the microphone in his hand. And Bray Wyatt, out of frustration, throws the microphone aside. And this happens. I think we could give you a little audio for this one. There you go, watch. That's it. That's it. That's two times. That's two times. Oh, the look on your face. The look on your face when you think you made a viral tweet and you only get four likes. The look on your face when you got scammed by somebody in India thinking that you paid for a McAfee membership. That look on your face like, oh, this motherfucker doesn't realize what he just did. And the best part about it is, as Bray Wyatt is walking to the back, as LA Knight is walking to the back, watch the Titantron behind him. Watch closely. You'll see it for a few seconds. Watch closely. There you go. Uncle Howdy in Bray Wyatt's head. You know what you fucking have to do. The storyline that we have been describing is exactly what's going on. The Titantron is flashing. Uncle Howdy, that's Bray Wyatt's head. What you saw on the screen is what's going on Bray Wyatt's head. Not rocket science. Been saying that since what? August or September? No. September.
How's that taste?
Yeah, look at that. That he taste? Is fucking pissed. Look, let's see. There's another Uncle Howdy. You know, two for one, as L.A. Knight said. Two for one. Well, can you guess what happens next? Hey, L.A. Knight's got to be a chicken shit. So now he's trying to get out of the building as quickly as he can. So Megan Morant stops him in the back. You know, why are you leaving? Are you afraid of Bray Wyatt? L.A. Knight's not afraid at all. L.A. Knight opens the door, and I'm sorry for those that are on iPhones, especially you cheap fucks with iPhone 2s, that the screen is only like 3 inches big. But in the background, when he opens up the door, all you see is, yeah, that is Bray Wyatt's new upgraded 2022 mask, and he is waiting outside for L.A. Knight. Remember, everyone, late at night, when you want to grab one of those tissues, especially if you're lingering in OnlyFans, remember, friends, Bray Wyatt is watching you. Bray Wyatt is watching you. Be warned, everyone. Be warned. So, anyway, we go to commercial. We come back, and L.A. Knight is laid out. I guess L.A. Knight ran back into the building, shitting bricks. L.A. Knight is laid out. That's what happens. You want to bitch slap Bray? No problem. That's what happens. Loved every minute of it. It's the perfect, you know, character development for L.A. Knight. He stood up to Bray Wyatt, even though he got his ass kicked. You know, but again, I don't know if this leads to a match. I don't know if it leads to a match. We didn't even see Bray Wyatt doing any physicality. You know, the lights went off. We go to commercial. We come back, and L.A. Knight is laid out. So, but again, this is Uncle Howdy getting through to Bray Wyatt's head to snap, you know. But good segments. And you know what? It takes two to tango. LA Knight made that segment as good as it was. You know, you could have used some other annoying people in the world of pro wrestling. I don't think it would have felt the same. Just use random people that could get under your skin. I'm not saying that they're bad people, but use random people that get under your skin. And then put them in that segment with Bray Wyatt, and you tell me if it would have worked just as good. I say no. All right. The Usos are being interviewed. They're not happy about losing their record. They're interrupted by Imperium. Imperium show up, and they say, hey, for 8 years, you've been mocking this beautiful sport with Bootios and all their antics. So Imperium is you know, throwing some shade to New Day, Ludwig Kaiser, as he can only talk. And here comes the jokes from Xavier Woods and Kingston. Kofi is talking with an English accent. Remember, he was Sir Kofi. And we had King Woods. So they were talking with the British accent. They're making fun of Imperium. They're saying that Gunther looks like Lurch from the Addams Family. And they're cracking all these jokes. So Xavier Woods says, hey, how's about we get a third partner and we face you in the ring? Not only do they accept, but all Gunther does is looks at them and he says, thank you for proving my point. That, yeah, they're just jokes. So what happens? We get the match later on. The surprise is Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman and the New Day defeat Imperium. The only thing I didn't like about this match is that we saw Gunther run away from Braun Strowman. Not the same asshole way, you know, like LA Knight did getting away from Bray Wyatt. You saw Braun go charge Gunther and Gunther started running. And towards the end of the match, when the New Day were getting ready to set up their finisher on Ludwig Kaiser, Gunther had an opportunity to enter the ring and try to break up the count. Braun hits the ring, and Gunther is like, I'm fucking out of here. And I know that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way that saw that segment yesterday. Wasn't a bad segment. Wasn't bad. The match was fun. Crowd loved it. Crowd absolutely loved it. But this is why I think they're setting up Braun Strowman versus Gunther. Two mammoth men. And how physical. You imagine Braun taking some of those shots from Gunther, some of those chops? I think it'll be a great match, and I think it will happen. So next week we have Braun Strowman versus Ricochet. And then later on, remember, we have the match with Butch versus Sami Zayn. And what transpired is pretty much what we expected it to be. Madcap Moss takes on Karrion Kross, unfortunately, the same result as before. Moss was out of action for 3 weeks because of Kross. Emma shows up, shows a little bit of support for Moss, and Moss wants a little revenge. Emma's like, I know what you could do. Just take the fight to Kross. And he did take the fight to Kross. But unfortunately, one fatal error towards the end of the match. Kross is on Moss's shoulders. Moss just drops him back onto the mat, plants him. And Moss, as he's sitting in front of Kross, just sits there and pauses for a minute. And Kross gets up almost Undertaker-like and just locks on the Kross jacket. And Kross chokes him out. And after the match is over, Emma runs into the ring to check on Moss. And Kross and Scarlett are kind of chuckling it up as they go to the back. We did see a backstage segment with the Usos and Kross with Scarlett. And the Usos were questioning Kross if he's part of the Brawling Brutes' team. And Kross says, I'm not a follower. He says, and anyway, you know, if I'm ever going to take Roman's title, I'll do it on my terms. Because the Usos kind of insinuated that, you know, Karrion Kross is, you know, using the bloodline. You know, right now I have no idea what that even has anything to do with it, but it is what it is. So we start moving on along. We get the main event, Butch defeating Sami Zayn to move on in the tournament. It was obviously going to be that outcome because Sami Zayn all along was going to be in Survivor Series. The only question is, how would Sami Zayn lose this match? And I think the finish was very predictable. We had the Brawling Brutes at ringside. We had Drew at ringside. We had, you know, members of the Bloodline at ringside. And they all interfered, distracting. And as a result, Sami Zayn gets pinned. Butch is the winner. But, you know, no harm done. Because immediately afterwards, you know, to get the distraction off the fact that Sami is no longer in the tournament, I don't think anybody's complaining. I mean, a lot of people wanted Sami to win the World Cup, but realistically, I'd rather see him in Survivor Series. Now, I know what you're going to say to me. DT, the World Cup is not finalizing at Survivor Series. He could have still gone on in the tournament and survived. No, you want all of Sami Zayn's focus in Survivor Series, War Games. You don't want, oh, they lost at Survivor Series, but he still has a shot at the World Cup. No, you want Sami Zayn 100% utilized for War Games. No other lingering match. No other lingering prize. That's it. That's it. So they immediately go to both teams brawling it up, and Roman Reigns' music hits. Roman comes out to ringside, cleans house. He hits a Superman punch on Ridge Holland. He hits a spear over to Butch. He has a stare down in the ring with Drew McIntyre. And then out of nowhere, Solo Sikoa tries to take out Drew McIntyre, but Solo gets tossed over the top rope. Roman then spears Drew McIntyre, and here comes Sheamus. If you remember the sit-down from 2 weeks ago, that's the match we want to see a little rekindled, Roman Reigns versus Sheamus. So there's a stare down in the ring, and they start going back and forth a little bit. Sami Zayn ultimately attacks Sheamus from behind. And Superman punch to Sheamus. Roman goes in the corner to set up the spear. I don't know what the fuck I just did, but goes to set up the spear on Sheamus. And then the music hits. Kevin Owens comes out. Now, I will tell you what happened with Kevin Owens' injury. Now, I'll also tell you something about Logan Paul's injury. Both are very good news. This is not misreporting. I mean, I know a lot of people are having fun the last 12 hours, making fun of the Observer's report that, you know, his injury was so serious that it... No, let me explain what went down and you'll understand why it's, you know, you really can't fault this time any journalist that actually had a legit story about this. But Kevin Owens shows up. If you look closely, walking a little gingerly, but did the Austin-like stomps in the corner to Roman Reigns. And that was done by design to show everyone my leg is good enough to go. Because even if it's the right leg that was messed up, he did the stomps like he had no injury. If it's the left leg that was messed up, he's planting his foot on the mat as if there was no injury. He throws the stomps to Roman Reigns. We get a stare down between him and Sami Zayn a little bit. Then Roman Reigns with the Superman punch to Kevin Owens. Roman Reigns then attempts a spear, but Kevin Owens blocks it, turns it into a stunner. Roman Reigns leaves the ring. Sami Zayn is shocked to shit. What the fuck just happened? And in the ring, there is your Survivor Series team. Ridge Holland, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Sheamus, and Butch. So War Games is set. That's how we go off the air for SmackDown. From top to bottom, it was a great show. The only thing that I didn't like about it was Shotzi Blackheart versus Shayna Baszler. As we said last week, you know, to try to set up that maybe Shotzi has a shot, no pun intended, against Ronda Rousey, should probably win with a fruit roll-up distraction. And they did that. And by doing it, what they did was they had Raquel Rodriguez come out. Now, Raquel and Shotzi do have a long history in NXT, but it just felt very, very random. Oh, Ronda's at ringside. She's kind of distracting. So Raquel comes out there to even the odds. Shayna gets distracted. Shotzi with the fruit roll-up. 1, 2, 3, done. So it was so predictable, and it's so lazy. I mean, honestly, it's so lazy. When you and I could see that a million miles away, and not only does it happen, but it happens exactly how we expected it, that's laziness. That's not smartness on my part and your part. That's laziness on their part. Oh, how do we like with Liv and Ronda Rousey, they got physical. Liv's using weapons, whipping people, whipping Ronda Rousey, using the Singapore cane, trying to do this, table chairs. So Liv Morgan's like, look, extreme rules, I'm coming at you. it felt, I mean, many of you predicted Ronda Rousey to win, but it felt like, hey, Liv Morgan, you know, she's putting the beat down to Ronda Rousey a little bit. Here, it's, oh, I won with a distraction fruit roll-up, so now I legitimately have a shot. It's nothing against Shotzi Blackheart, but it's a hard sell for me to think that Shotzi has any shot at Ronda Rousey. But you know what? It's a challenge for Shotzi. Let's see if she could step up. She's still very, very early in her career. So who knows a year from now? I mean, I think we could all say Shotzi Blackheart a year ago compared to now, much better in the ring. Shotzi Blackheart 2 years ago, remember the dives in NXT, the neck? 2 years ago now, even better. So, you know, she's developing. The only thing is, you know, you start asking yourself what a lot of people fear, like, you know, how long do you wait? Okay, now, let's get into two injury updates. Kevin Owens and Logan Paul. And they're both positive. They're definitely positive. Oh, by the way, last week we talked about the dumbest story of the year. And that was Ringside News reporting that Vince McMahon, the evil Vince, wanted people to work on their birthdays. That just shows you what these people behind Ringside News actually do for a living. That they actually think, like you and I, like it's a holiday, like it's on our birthday, we don't have to work. I think it's going to be a weekly feature now, the dumbest article of the week. I'll give you a little sneak peek of what it is. This is courtesy of WrestleTalk News. And the sad thing about it is that blue check mark is because it's a legit organization with poll online, not because they did Twitter blue. I will show you that. I have the article. Oh, wait till you read it. Seriously, dumb. Dum dum dum. What cartoon you said? Dum 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 dum. No. I don't know. Anyway, let's first talk about Kevin Owens. What happened to Kevin Owens? Kevin Owens legitimately sprained his MCL. And MCLs could take 2 to 6 weeks for a regular human being. Somebody who walks to their car and walks back home, maybe lets the dog out. You know, who let the dog out? Woof! Stop, DT. You know, like little things. You walk to go pee. You know, you go check the mail. Not go in the ring and stop mud holes into Roman Reigns. This guy did so much therapy on his knee. From TENS machines to massage therapy to massage and TENS machine. What they do is they take the TENS machine, they put it on the muscles, and then they heat wrap it. You know, I was described to probably, I've had something like that done before on my spine. And they just worked on it, stretched it, because one of the things with a sprained MCL, things tighten up really, really horrible. And walking in the pool, Kevin Owens just did everything you possibly could to get this to feel as good as possible. That plus taping it up. They felt, and Kevin Owens felt, yeah, no, I'm good to go. Just think about Kevin Owens' history. Even before WWE, this motherfucker is one of the toughest son of a bitches in pro wrestling. Doesn't have to bleed, doesn't have to fight on glass or light tubes. The guy is one of the toughest people there. Plus, you know, remember, he had the WrestleMania. Think about WrestleMania with Steve Austin. I mean, Steve Austin don't just come out of retirement for nobody. So he does not like to pass up these opportunities unless it happens in Saudi Arabia. So Kevin Owens worked his ass off to get. Now, look, you know, the body is the body. I know that sounds ridiculous. DT, what the fuck does that mean? The body is the body. The body is the body means that you could try to manipulate things as much as you want. Your body, you know, is not going to force itself to heal. You break a bone, you know, you could think to do all this. Doesn't mean that your bone is going to heal any quicker. So he did everything he possibly could to keep this loose and did therapy, and he's good to go. Thank you for the kind words, everyone. I saw them throughout the last half hour. I appreciate that. You know, my uncle said that was a good guy. So Logan Paul, Jake Paul, revealed this. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little annoyed that Logan Paul didn't just come out and say this. This should have come out in the mouth of Logan Paul. And by the way, on Monday, we will talk about Logan Paul's remarks towards John Cena. Oh, that thumbnail that I did 2 weeks ago with John Cena versus Logan Paul. Boy, did that fucking age well. That's a gem, because Logan Paul wants John Cena at WrestleMania. So we'll talk about that on Monday. But Jake Paul was on a boxing show this past week, and he revealed that Logan Paul did not tear his ACL. He did injure and tear the meniscus and the MCL, but the injury is nowhere near as severe as originally expected, which means Logan Paul, WrestleMania, barring any major setback, he should be good to go. He should be good to go. All right, let's briefly run down Rampage, get into a few things there. Ricky Starks. Now, by the way, this was the advertised card yesterday. Oh, and we'll talk about the Dynamite rating, too. Yesterday, we had Eddie Kingston and Ortiz. They lost to Jun Akiyama and Konosuke Takeshita. And I'm not to Konosuke Takeshka. I don't fucking pronounce it like that. Sorry. No disrespect. But for years and years and years, I heard even people overseas, Konosuke Takeshita. I don't use the Excalibur interpretation. Anyway, you know, you look at this main event, and I'm sure it's a dream match to a few people out there, but, you know, you're not obviously trying to please the masses. Eddie Kingston ends up coming out of this, getting a match against Jun Akiyama on the 0 Hour tonight, pre-show. There's three matches set up for the pre-show tonight, if you are interested. Eddie Kingston versus Jun Akiyama. You're going to have Ricky Starks versus Brian Cage, as I told you earlier. And you're going to have Orange Cassidy, Best Friends, which is Rocky Orange Cassidy, Trent Beretta, Rocky Romero, a mysterious, very evil partner. And that's supposed to be Danhausen. So you got Best Friends, Orange Cassidy. Whoever wrote this all wrong. Orange Cassidy, Best Friends, Rocky Romero, and it appears to be Danhausen versus the Factory of QT Marshall, Cole Carter, Lee Johnson, Aaron Solo, and Nick Camerato. That is the pre-show. So we end up with, I think, 13 matches tonight. Now you understand why I'm not doing a recap right after this shit goes off the air. No fucking way. We'll talk about it on Sunday. So you get the Kingston and Ortiz lose. You know, Ortiz looked like he got dropped on his head at that very end of it. I mean, he did have his faculties. You know, I don't want to put any clickbait worries out there, but that didn't look all that good. Fans didn't seem to be into it as much. I mean, they love Eddie Kingston. They love Ortiz also. But, you know, again, this is a main event. It's not even like a lead-in. Like, you want to go, I don't care. You want to go off Rampage with, you know, some of your bigger champions brawling, pull apart, leading to All Out. We're out of time. Tune in tomorrow. Full gear. No, this was Jun Akiyama and Takeshita celebrating their win. It's like, come on, man. Very, very horrible build. It wasn't even a build to Full Gear. We had Tony Schiavone interview earlier in the day Jericho and Guevara. Jericho guarantees that the title will remain in the Jericho Appreciation Society, and he will be the one to retain. And after Jericho walks off, Sammy Guevara is like, well, we'll see about that. Now, Jericho was on commentary, so Jericho's like, no, Sammy will be a world champion one day, but right now, you know, it's all about the Ocho. Hook over Lee Moriarty to retain his FTW title. Now, I'm not into Lee Moriarty. It's not a disrespect on him, but when the commentator said yesterday that this is Hook's biggest challenge to date, believe it or not, they actually were right. Not necessarily because of Lee Moriarty, his name, his wrestling background, it was the fact that it was going to be an 8-minute match, that Hook was going to have to sell a lot more than what he was in the past. So the match was not bad. There was a lot of commercials during it, but Hook, in my opinion, held his own. You could see the progression of Hook, but it was a decent match yesterday. The fact that it went 8 minutes is very, very surprising and also refreshing, because that's a lot of time to give to Hook, even if you have commercial breaks. But he held his own. It was a decent match. And I'll give Lee Moriarty credit. See, when I say Lee Moriarty, like it almost sounds like when Vince would say WWE. How many of you out there see or notice when Vince would say WWE or even Triple H, they say it so fast it sounds like WWE, like just WWE? Vince does that all the time. Yeah, the WWE. So I say Lee Moriarty. If I say it fast, it's Lee Moriarty. Lee Moriarty. Athena beats Madison Rayne. The news coming out of this is that Athena is now full-blown heel. And after the match is over, you know, she is trying to attack Madison Rayne a little bit more. Aubrey Edwards tries to stop Athena, and Aubrey Edwards gets nailed with a shot. Now, in storyline, is Tony Khan going to suspend Athena for her actions against an official? No. It's not going to happen. But Mercedes Martinez, didn't we say on Wednesday, expect Mercedes Martinez to come back just in time for the Ring of Honor pay-per-view? She comes back, saves Madison Rayne, and there's a stare down between her and Athena. So do not be surprised. We may have Athena versus Mercedes Martinez at Ring of Honor. And you know what? That'll be a good match. I'm not going to criticize the match. Not going to criticize it all. But it felt very random yesterday. House of Black vignette. You know, not the dark vignettes that we saw before. This was more about them, you know, like fighting, sparring with people and kicking the shit out of people. And as I said moments ago, Jun Akiyama and Takeshita over Eddie Kingston Ortiz, after the event was over. Oh, we still got to talk about MJF. Oh, my God, MJF. Talk about calling the pot calling the kettle black. I can't believe nobody is accusing MJF of doing the same fucking thing that everybody is ripping CM Punk for. I will get into that next. But we had Takeshita Nakayama beat Eddie Kingston Ortiz. After Rampage goes off the air, Eddie Kingston begs for a match against Jun Akiyama at Full Gear. Kickoff show, Tony Khan comes out, grants the match. Match was already set for the dark, but they just set it up that way. That, you know, like, oh, Eddie Kingston is asking, begging, please, I want this match. Good. Take note that during the main event match on Rampage yesterday, Eddie Kingston and Akiyama were in the ring together for about 35 seconds. Like, they didn't do virtually nothing. They're saving it for Saturday. All right. Before I play you the audio, yes, I have the audio of MJF throwing shade to CM Punk. Before I play that audio, I want to set it up this way. Tony Khan had a media call yesterday, hyping up to Full Gear. And there was a wide array of topics that were given. The FTR one just pissed me off again, because people ask, you know, it's not just the questions you ask, it's how you ask them. You know, they bring up FTR and the lack of use, and, you know, Tony Khan's like, well, you know, we got this huge roster, and he starts talking about Tony Storm, and he's talking about, oh, Ring of Honor, this and that, and just totally moves off topic. And, you know, why ask the question, if FTR is the most popular number one contenders, why are they not used like number one contenders? That's how you ask the fucking question without being an asshole. I'll give you another one. Some Matarats asked about the investigation. They wanted to know about the investigation. And Tony Khan says he can't comment about it. I don't know if these reporters or those fancying themselves as journalists are doing it on purpose. But again, it's not the question. It's not the topic. It's how you ask it. You just say, you know, what happened with the investigation? Can't comment about it. Oh, what's the end result of CM Punk? Can't comment about it. You know the question you ask Tony Khan that he has to answer? Because if you ask this in a murder investigation, if you ask this in a fraud case, if you ask this in an assault case, if you ask this in a shooting, if you ask this in a fraud case, IRS, tax scandal, anything, you ask like this. Tony, quick question. What were the reasons for this investigation? What was this investigation supposed to determine? Why was this investigation launched? Take any other topic out there and pretend the subjects I just said. You know, what's the source of this investigation? What's the reason for this investigation? I can't comment about it. Why can't you comment about it? We're not asking who did this and who did what. Why is this investigation open? Well, we're trying to figure out who killed who. Oh, we're trying to figure out. Nobody asks it like that. Tony, what was the purpose of this? Why was this investigation launched? What was it supposed to determine? That's not revealing the outcome. Why is this investigation issued on President Trump? Why is this investigation issued on Barry Bonds? Why is this investigation being held? You know, why is this name? You know, what's the purpose of this investigation? Well, we're trying to find out who frauded the government. We're trying to find out who wrote the. Why did this investigation? No, they don't do that. Either they're brain fucking dead, or they're intentionally. Giving softball questions so they could say, see, we asked. No, it's how you fucking ask the question. So anyway, CM Punk was brought up. Tony Khan would not comment about CM Punk's status in AEW, but Tony Khan did say that he has nothing but positive things to say about CM Punk and what he did on camera. Hold that thought. Maybe I am reaching here. I ask you this time around, post in the comment section after the show is over. Seriously, do you agree with what I'm about to say? Because I'm going to play you some audio right now. Tony Khan has nothing but positive feelings, positive things to say about CM Punk and what he did on camera. Okay. Now we go to MJF. After Dynamite went off the air Wednesday, MJF was in the ring with Tony Khan. Now, I can't play you the video, but I sure can play you the audio of it, of what MJF said. Now, I ask you this. When you hear this, did MJF just do the very same thing that CM Punk did? And what's even more interesting about this is Tony Khan once again standing right there and watching this, listening to this, accepting it. MJF was on the mic touting Tony Khan, touting professional wrestling, touting how without Tony Khan there would still be a monopoly with Vince McMahon. It's a rally call for AEW fans. That I have no issue with MJF. Until he talked about CM Punk. He did not mention CM Punk by name, but he said some things about Punk and what he did behind the scenes. So now when you hear MJF's words, I want you to think about CM Punk in the media scrum. And CM Punk in the media scrum was throwing shade at the people, what they do behind the scenes. He didn't address them by name. He did say EVPs, but he didn't say them by name. So as you hear MJF, I want you to tell me, did MJF just do the same fucking thing that he's ripping CM Punk for? Because in my opinion, I say yes. Listen to this.
lot of bullshit has gone on. A lot of bullshit. We all know it. We all know it. However, let me make something crystal clear. Me and you, we've been at odds once or twice. I'm not going to stand here and pretend that's not the case. But there's something I take issue with that I've been seeing lately. Everybody make some noise if you're a fan of professional wrestling.
Okay, so far it's a rallying cry. No complaints. Listen closely at the shot he takes at CM Punk.
This man right here busts his ass week in, week out to give not just you, but to give all the boys in the back an opportunity to show the world how much we love professional wrestling.
Now it sounds like shit that CM Punk would say. Now listen closely.
We don't take that lightly. And what I damn sure don't take lightly is somebody coming in to my company, dropping trout, taking a dump. That shit ain't happening anymore.
He just ripped CM Punk for taking a crap on the company. Behind the scenes, or about the people behind the scenes. Didn't MJF just do the very same thing? That he is making public in front of the owner, ripping someone for doing something that they didn't agree with. CM Punk took a crap on the EVPs and did it in front of the news media. MJF just took a crap on CM Punk and did it in a live arena with tons of video phones. Am I grasping straws here? I mean, look, I'm not saying that AEW wrestlers don't have a right to be mad at CM Punk. Of course they have a right to be mad at CM Punk. Danny says Punk made it public. What did we just witness here? Wait, is the media scrum on Dynamite? No. Is the media scrum on Rampage, pay-per-view? No. The media scrum is for the reporters. The reporters put it online. Tony Khan is in the ring with MJF, and he is talking, and people are putting it online. This is public. In my opinion, look, I am not throwing shade on MJF. I am a huge fan of MJF. Jesus, if I start pulling things that I have here of MJF, I think it surprised some people, some of the things that I have, collectibles. But didn't MJF just do exactly what CM Punk did, and he's ripping him for it? And the ironic thing about it is Tony Khan is standing right there, once again, a wrestler publicly shitting on another wrestler, the stuff behind the scenes. I don't know. I mean, are people just afraid to call out MJF on that or say, wow, you just did exactly what CM Punk did? The only difference is you did it in the ring instead of doing it behind a table.
Because this is the place, and the only reason why it's here is because of Tony fucking Khan.
Okay, so I think we heard enough. What do you think? What do you think about that? Again, it's kind of like wild when you realize Tony Khan is in the ring. And he's like, could you imagine what he's saying in his head? Do you think he was saying, oh, no, not again? Or you think he was like getting that chill, like, would say, oh, this is epic, amazing, unbelievable. All right. Before we get out of here, because we've gone 70 minutes, don't forget, you know, a couple of things. Oh, on Monday for Raw, Asuka will be taking on Rhea Ripley, and the winner of that match will determine who gets the upper hand for War Games. Next week, you're going to have Drew McIntyre and Sheamus taking on the Usos, and the winner of that match will determine who gets the upper hand in their War Games match. So be interesting if we see the Usos get pinned, but there's no titles on the line because it's a stipulation for War Games. So once again, programming notes, this Sunday, tomorrow, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, I will be here. We will do a quick recap and review of Full Gear. We'll talk about the highs, the lows, and any controversial or, you know, news-breaking moments that come out of it. And we'll do a little sit-down. We'll interact. We'll have some casual conversation. It all starts tomorrow at 8.05 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesday, I will be recording your predictions for Survivor Series War Games. That will drop here on the channel Wednesday at 12 noon. So it will be recorded Tuesday. It'll be in the bag, so you will get your predictions here on Wednesday. Next Saturday, I will be out of the state, so I will not be around for Survivor Series. But next Sunday, the 27th of November, I will be here once again, kind of like a duplicate of what we do tomorrow. Next Sunday, we will definitely recap and review Survivor Series, and we will also do a little sit-down as well. Now, and Tuesday, I am going to do that State of the Channel. As I wrote earlier and said earlier, you know, I want to explain a little bit why I chose to leave Pro Wrestling TV. You know, little hint, you know, I was being really strapped, held back a little bit, and it was hurting some things that I wanted to do. After 6 months, I thought it was time to move on. There's a few other things as well. There's some financial stuff, but in no way is any of it negative. I don't want anybody to think any of it is negative. It will be interesting because I think, you know, someone else is also exiting for the same reason. So, and yeah, look, we're going to add some things to the channel. We'll start talking about Podcast Forbidden Door 4. So that's what we have to look at on Tuesday. Now, I want to end this story with this. And the reason why I want to close out with this is because this Monday on Raw, we will find out who the final participant on War Games will be on Bianca Belair's team. Or as Wade Barrett would say, Bianca, Bianca. We'll find out who it is. I think it's Beth Phoenix. I think it's, after thinking about it, I think it's Beth Phoenix. Maybe it's Liv Morgan. Some people think Charlotte Flair still. Some people think Candice LeRae. Yes, Iman. Definitely. We will know Monday. But how many of you out there think that it's Dana Brooke? I got to show you this. This is why this has to be a weekly feature on this show anymore. See, I'm getting all around. This is why this has to be a weekly feature on the show from now on. All right. I always talk about the garbage that's out there as far as news goes. And it gets very frustrating when I get questions sent to me, emailed me, and it's like, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you have to say about this? Or your thoughts on this? But when people were coming to me and saying, oh, what do you think about WWE's going TV-14 starting tonight? I went on the show and I said, they ain't going TV-14. And I gave you every business reason why they weren't going TV-14. Sure, that could happen down the line, but I told you what had to happen first, and none of that happened. I was the only person on the net to say that. So I have to always, one of the biggest challenges of doing what I do here, and believe me, a lot of your other favorite podcasters go through this also. We have to try to determine whether through sources or common sense or research if a story is real or not. And what's sad about it is this is a blue check mark. This is not somebody who paid $8 for that. This is Wrestle Talk News. And they write, the final member of Bianca Belair's Survivor Series War Games side has potentially been revealed. Okay. All right, potentially been revealed. All right, I'm interested. I want to see what this is about. When I read you this article, and yes, I will share my screen so you could see it. when I show you this article, I want you to see what they are basing this on. This is the garbage low of the low. I got to show you this. All right, let's hit the screen. Here we go. This is their website. This is WrestleTalk's website. Final member. Now, first of all, the moron, Sanchez Taylor, with all due respect, you put Dana Brooke, you know, in the top. I mean, of course, when you read down, the name is there, but yeah. So they're buying in that Dana Brooke revealed? Final Survivor revealed? All right, let's scroll down and let's see what this is based on. Now, you know what's sad about this site also? Look at all the fucking advertising. You can't even see the right that has like tons of videos and stuff. It is like 50 advertisements. All right, I'm going to read the article for everybody on audio only. Trust me, it's worth it. It says the final, now check out the grammar as well. The final member of Bianca Belair's Survivor Series War Games team has potentially been revealed. Let me say that sentence again. The final member of Bianca Belair's Survivor Series War Games team has potentially revealed, been revealed. Revealed, been revealed. At the November 26th premium live event, Bayley, Io Sky, Dakota Kai, Rhea Ripley, and Nikki Cross will battle Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and one more competitor to be announced. Dana Brooke has now taken to social media to push for her inclusion in the bout. The former 24/7 champion has retweeted numerous posts calling for her to be the fifth member of Bianca Belair's team after WWE asked fans who the final teammate should be. If fans responded with, "Yeah, I want Kermit the Frog. Yeah, I want Kermit the Frog to be on the Survivor Series team." Do you think the Twitter account for Kermit the Frog, "Hey, Kermit the Frog here. Yeah, vote for me. Yay!" These motherfuckers, they're basing it on Dana Brooke retweeting fans that say, "I want Dana." Where's the news? Where's the lie? Let's continue. Dana Brooke should be the fifth member of the team. Now, they're showing tweets from fans. Dana freaking Brooke. It would make storyline sense for Brooke to be the fifth member, as she has grievances with several members of the Damage Control side. Brooke was the penultimate 24/7 champion, only losing the gold to Nikki Cross on the November 7th edition of Raw. Brooke voiced her displeasure about Cross throwing a title in the trash online and in an interview segment on the November 14th Raw. Also on the show, Brooke was defeated by Io Sky before Mia Yim revealed that she would be siding with Bianca Belair. Where's the fucking news? Where's it revealed? The only fucking thing that happened, yes, we got stats. Yes, we got stats. Yes, we got 750 so far. All right. Hey, we only going an hour, a little over. Where's the news? Look at the title again, everyone. The final member potentially has been revealed. WWS fans, who do you want in the team? Dana Brooke retweets some fans. And this schmuck, this brain-dead, stupid blue check mark, turns around and says, potentially revealed. What was revealed? That Dana Brooke has some fans that want her in the fucking match? This is why I always rip the news out there. This is why I'm alone. This is why I'm alone, because I don't hold back. You know, I don't make friends, many friends out there, because a lot of the people out there, you know, they're all part of the same clique. And if you criticize one, you criticize all. You know, they call them out on their bullshit. And not to mention that site has about 75. You didn't even see all the video players on the right side or all these commercials that I had to disable. Like, that's the only way they stay in business. So I had to show you that. That is the dumbest news article of the week, that Dana Brooke has been potentially revealed, been revealed as the fifth member of Bianca Belair's team. Now, if it ends up being Dana Brooke, I will put salt on this and I will eat it on Sunday, next Sunday. So if it ends up being, but even if it is, it was not revealed in there. So, all right, everyone. Mighty Mighty is tuning in. It's 1 a.m. where he is. So I don't feel so bad when the show opens up and says it's Saturday night. I haven't changed the intros lately. I will. But definitely tune into the little video that I record Tuesday about the state of the channel. It's nothing but positive. It's all signs up. And I definitely want to tighten up the channel a little bit. I definitely want the shows to stay shorter in length. But I'm also going to start making some additions as well. And it's going to help everyone navigate so much easier on this channel. I want it to be a fun experience. I don't want anyone having to scroll through 10, 20, 30, 50 minutes of content just to try to get the topic that they want discussed. So, and going forward, I will organize the discussions more. You'll see pretty much WWE all in one chunk, AEW all in one chunk, non-WWE AEW all in one chunk. This way, when you hear the conversations going, you know that's what that's for. So, all right, before I go, I got to give a special thank you to somebody. Jay Carlos, it's funny that you did that. I got to show you something that you will get a kick out of. I think you all get a kick out of this. He sent a very generous 100 spot a few minutes ago. And he says, hello, my friend, coffee on me today. How much fucking coffee do you expect me to drink with $100? That's coffee. That's dinner. That's dessert. Believe it or not, after I take my wife to go see my uncle tonight, funeral, he's only being laid out for 4 hours. Then they're going to cremate him. There's a sad side story with this. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But I got to go to Lake Ronkonkoma and be there for 4 p.m. But I told my wife that they have a Japanese like hot pot restaurant out there. I've never been to a Japanese restaurant where you grill your own meats. I don't know if any of you have ever done that, but that's on my bucket list. I always wanted to go where they give you like thin strips of meat. I don't eat fish, but I always wanted to go where you grill your own stuff at the table. You know, the only thing is I heard they give you like 90 minutes and you have to finish in 90 minutes, otherwise your ass is out of there. But thank you, everyone, about my uncle. My uncle's a good guy, man. There's a picture of him, me and him from 10 years ago. So, well, I had bags under my eyes. The fuck? What's up with my cheeks? What's up with that Jerry the King Lawler beard? All right, but anyway, I got to show this to Jay and everyone else. Well, I know what your first name is. It's a four-letter word, but we're not going to say it here. Begins with Jay. But Jay Carlos sent 100 spot, and funny story, I'll leave you all with this when we go off the air. Probably about a year and a half ago, I never forget this too, about a year and a half ago, I had an office chair in here that broke on me. And, you know, it was just really uncomfortable sitting on everything, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, I had to get it replaced, but it broke earlier in the day before the show started. So I was doing a show at Mish at that time, and Jay Carlos sent an extremely generous super chat. It said, DT, go get another chair. And I felt really guilty, you know, and that was early on with super chats and everything. But, you know, look, I appreciate it, and everything helps. You know, the days of me charging thousands of dollars to keep the shows going, I can't anymore. I have my own expenses. I got, you know, other things going on. But what does this have to do with today? Literally 2 hours before I went live today, I got up at around 8:30 this morning, made coffee, went into this room to get the show ready. I go to sit in the chair, and it went like this. The whole cylinder thing popped. Now, don't say to me, that's because you're fat, DT. No, the cylinder was having some issues, and I was just, you know, like just hoping that it would stay. The cylinder crapped out on me. So literally right before I went live today, this is what I'm sitting on. My dining room chair. The chair that Jay Carlos picked up for me a year and a half ago today. Rest in peace. Talk about weird timing, right? So, yeah, believe it or not, this is not that bad. But the seat is not intended for to sit here and do shows like that, especially when I lean back. Trust me, it'll look like a bad cartoon The back of these chairs are not meant to be like, you know, doing what you're doing with podcasting. But I already have a chair on order. So I already ordered one, you know, but it'll get delivered here, I think, tomorrow. So if I have enough time, I'll assemble it before we do the sit down. So, all right. Thank you, Jay Carlos, again. I really appreciate that. That's very, very kind of you. And I thank each and every one of you out there for showing support. Much love to everyone who has found the channel very recently. And as always, show love to our elite channel members here on YouTube. You know, you get, you know, a little extra content, some Patreon content, bonus content there. And all of our subscribers as well, our channel members. I mean, you all are really the lifeblood of what goes on over here. And going into 2023, I really want to take this channel to the next level. By the end of 2023, you know, I will not, I mean, my goal would love to be to get 50,000 subscribers, but now with all of my video staying strictly on YouTube and not Pro Wrestling TV and not on some other areas as well, you know, you will see things a little bit different over here. It's not that I don't care about the numbers being split, but it does hurt other aspects of the channel. I'll explain it all on Tuesday, but having just one source for everything, one location, is really, I think, very, very important. So, all right, I'm out of here. Yeah, I will see you all tomorrow, 8:05 p.m. If you enjoyed the show, smash that thumbs up on the way out. And, yeah, join me tomorrow. I'm sure you're all going to have a lot of things to say about Full Gear. You know, even if you don't watch it, I mean there's going to be a lot of news coming out of it. And, you know, we'll talk about that. Bray Wyatt, whatever is on your mind. And, yeah, we'll see what goes down. All starts tomorrow, 8:05 p.m. Eastern. So much love, everyone. I'll see you all again tomorrow. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.